This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
No impeachments. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Thursday, July 18. Glad you're with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
The House has voted to block a measure to impeach President Trump based on his behavior and moral fitness.
The president last night continued his public feud with four freshman Democratic members of Congress. Does it make sense as a re-election strategy?
Thousands rally again in San Juan to demand the resignation of Puerto Rico's governor. He continues to resist.
And kids unknowingly splurging on digital goodies inside video games. One woman found $1,500 of charges when she looked back on 3 years of bank statements.
She noticed a series of $20 and $30 charges all in one day from Microsoft's Xbox. And so she asked her son about it, and he said he didn't realize that the sort of playful coins he was clicking on in games to buy vehicles and weapons within video games was actually tied to real money.
Wall Street Journal writer Julie Jargon on in-game video purchases. Are there teachable financial lessons here for kids? That report in about 20 minutes. The House has blocked an effort to impeach President Trump. However, a look at the vote count suggests there may be momentum among Democrats who want to pursue ways to remove him from office, despite the wishes of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
We have six committees that are working on following the facts in terms of any abuse of power, obstruction of justice, and the rest that the president may have engaged in.
Lawmakers yesterday voted 332 to 95 to kill the latest article of impeachment, which focused on Mr. Trump's behavior and moral fitness and not on whether he had engaged in obstruction of justice like a previous measure. The impeachment push has divided the Democratic Party. Yesterday, nearly 100 Democrats opposed the measure to kill the impeachment resolution, meaning they wanted impeachment to move forward. At a rally last night, Mr. Trump called the impeachment effort, quote, the most ridiculous project I've ever been involved in. The House has voted to hold Attorney General William Barr and Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross in criminal contempt for defying congressional subpoenas. Lawmakers have been chasing documents related to Trump administration efforts to add a citizenship question to the census survey. New York Democrat Carolyn Maloney.
Today we vote to defend the interest of the American people, our system of checks and balances, and our very Constitution.
Holding the two cabinet members in contempt allows the Oversight and Government Reform Committee to consider taking action against the men in federal court, where a judge could enforce the subpoena. Reaction from Republican Mark Meadows of North Carolina.
Holding someone in contempt of Congress is one of the most serious and formal actions our committee can take. It should not be used as a political tool to generate press as part of an election year witch hunt.
President Trump has dropped his legal efforts to amend the survey, but the Oversight Committee wants to continue its probe. President Trump has continued his back and forth with four Democratic freshman members of Congress at a rally in Greenville, North Carolina last night. He ran through criticisms of them, accusing them of helping to fuel the rise of a dangerous, militant hard left, as he said.
And tonight I have a suggestion for the hate-filled extremists who are constantly trying to tear our country down. They never have anything good to say. That's why I say, hey, if they don't like it, let them leave.
Meanwhile, the fight the president has picked is considered by some to be a punching down strategy. Is it part of the broader re-election plan? Analysis from GOP consultant Matt Mikowiak, president of Potomac Strategy Group. Matt, how do you feel about all that's happened here?
I think as a substantive matter, telling someone who's an American citizen to quit, go back where they came from, is not appropriate. That said, these four members are well outside the political mainstream in the country, and honestly, they're well outside the mainstream of the Democratic Party. And so I think what Trump was trying to do here was basically trying to make the Democratic Party embrace them and raise their profile, knowing that their views are going to make the Democratic Party appear far more extreme. And that's exactly what they've done. You know, they've taken basically 2 days out of Congress's schedule and focused on a tweet. You know, they're going to vote on impeaching President Trump over a tweet, as ridiculous as that is. So, you know, I don't think picking at the scab of race relations in America is what a president should be doing. But I do think fighting against, you know, socialism and communism and extremism that is showing itself, you know, in the Democratic Party is something that's both necessary and helpful politically. So, you know, we'll see. I'm hoping this chapter is getting close to being behind us, because I just don't think it's been all that good for the country. But, you know, these four members, this so-called squad, they're going to be major players in the Democratic Party in the future, and they're already, you know, have pretty large following and are putting ideas out there that the Democratic Party is having to either embrace or reject, and there are costs either way.
Do you think that it still irks the president that Rashida Tlaib, the congresswoman from Michigan, one of the members of the squad, as they're called, you know, was barely elected to office back in January and said, we're going to impeach this mother effer? You think that still is, like, under his skin in some way?
Yeah, and I think he obviously, you know, feels the need to respond when people attack him. And these four members, you know, wake up every day and attack the president. It's kind of what they do. If my memory is correct, she did that either on Inauguration Day or on the next day.
Yeah, I
do think that a couple of those members, you know, have been really personal and pretty ugly in the terms they've used about the president. And he feels the need to respond. You know, generally, in politics, you don't really punch down, because punching down raises the profile of the person that you're going after. In this case, I think he actually wants to raise their profile. You know, just last week, let's remember, we're talking about race issues. Last week, you know, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was basically implying that Speaker Pelosi was racist.
Yeah.
So, you know, no one is immune from, you know, this group attacking them and calling them racist.
We're speaking with Matt Mikowiak. He's the president of Potomac Strategy Group, also host of a podcast called Mac on Politics. Is the president at this point shifting strategy, or maybe testing it a little bit to say, don't necessarily look at my record as I run for re-election, look at who the Democrats are running against me?
Yeah, I mean, look, he's going to do both, and I think he's got good arguments on both sides. I think, you know, if you look at the top, basically the top four Democrats running for president, Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, Kamala Harris, and Bernie Sanders, I think three of those four people are pretty extreme. So the only real risk is if Biden somehow ends up with the nomination, it may be more difficult to make the case that he's extreme. But generally speaking, this Democratic Party is moving so far left so quickly, adopting positions that 4 years ago were you know, outright rejected, that the only thing it's doing is benefiting Trump politically. So he wants to run against the worst ideas the Democrats have. What's amazing is that the Democrats don't seem to mind embracing those ideas, embracing those views that are well outside the mainstream. So I just think Trump is going to benefit from this, because the other side is going to look so unreasonable and so extreme in the presidential election in the fall of next year. He's going to benefit from that comparison. He wants that comparison to begin now, not next year.
Thanks, Matt. Matt Mikowiak, president of Potomac Strategy Group. Don't forget, by the way, we can connect on social media. You could friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow. If you like some cynicism and sarcasm, you can follow me directly on Twitter @GordonDeal. 15 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Evan Lyles, CEO of Roush Enterprises, instead.
For the people that are involved in product development, there couldn't be more unique and exciting opportunities that are really going to shape the future of the world. It's a really exciting time to be in Michigan.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
supported by Kronos. Kronos knows that hiring and retaining a modern workforce of salaried, hourly, full and part-time workers can be challenging, especially in today's competitive job market. That's why Kronos puts HR, payroll, talent, and time in one place, so HR professionals supporting a blended workforce have all the tools they need to engage and motivate their people every step of the way. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger. Kronos, workforce innovation that works. Thanks for spending time with us. Another mass demonstration in Puerto Rico to demand the resignation of Governor Ricardo Rosselló. Thousands gathered yesterday in the capital of San Juan, the second mass demonstration against the embattled leader this week. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
Demonstrators say they're fed up with the corruption of elected officials as well as cutbacks that have removed necessary services in recent years. Dissatisfaction with the government came to a head this week after hundreds of pages of messages from a private chat between the governor and several other members of his administration were leaked. The messages contained profane, sexist, and homophobic comments directed at other elected officials. The hashtag #RickyRenuncia, Spanish for #RickyResign, is trending on Twitter. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. Two Royal Caribbean cruise ships, by the way, have skipped stops in Puerto Rico due to the mass protests on the island. Some police officers have been injured and several people were arrested during the demonstrations. 19 minutes now after the hour on this morning. Jennifer Kashenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, the heat wave that has been roasting much of the U.S. in recent days is just getting warmed up, with temperatures expected to soar to dangerous levels through the weekend. Communities are preparing by offering buildings as cooling centers and asking residents to check in on relatives and neighbors. More than 100 local heat records are expected to fall on Saturday. Going after four Democratic congresswomen one by one, a combative President Trump turned a campaign rally in North Carolina into an extended dissection of the liberal views of the women of color, deriding them for what he painted as extreme positions and suggesting they get out.
And tonight I have a suggestion for the hate-filled extremists who are constantly trying to tear our country down. They never have anything good to say. That's why I say, hey, if they don't like it, let them leave.
North Carolina is a swing state. Trump won in 2016. The House has voted to hold two top Trump administration officials in contempt of Congress for failing to comply with subpoenas related to a decision to add a citizenship question to the 2020 census. The House voted to hold Attorney General William Barr and Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross in criminal contempt. The vote is largely symbolic because the Justice Department is unlikely to prosecute the two men. At least 23 people are now confirmed or presumed dead in a suspected arson at a popular animation production studio in Kyoto, Japan. 36 others have been injured, some of them critically. The Philadelphia Police Department is expected to begin the process of firing police officers whose racist or offensive social media posts were discovered online. The Philadelphia Inquirer says as many as 13 officers will be suspended with intent to dismiss beginning tomorrow, though it's not clear immediately who the officers are or what they may have posted. Last month, Philadelphia police launched an investigation into social media posts by officers that included Confederate imagery, anti-Muslim sentiments, violent rhetoric, and racist comments. Paul McCartney is writing his first stage musical, an adaptation of the classic movie It's a Wonderful Life. The ex-Beatle is collaborating with Billy Elliot playwright Lee Hall and West End producer Billy Kenwright. Producers are aiming for a late 2020 launch for that show.
Wow, McCartney. Mm-hmm. It's nothing the guy can't do and do well, I must say. Thanks, Jen. 22 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. The days of children blowing their allowance on comic books and candy are long gone. Kids are now spending hundreds or even thousands of dollars on more goods such as outfits for their video game avatars and gems to help them level up in games. Julie Jargon, columnist at the Wall Street Journal, says virtual spending is leading to debate among parents and lawmakers over whether it's creating unhealthy financial habits in kids. Julie, set this up.
So a lot of kids are making purchases within video games and apps, and they can really add up. I spoke with one mom who didn't notice this until she noticed a series of $20 and $30 charges all in one day from Microsoft's Xbox. And so she asked her son about it, and he said he didn't realize that the sort of playful coins he was clicking on in games to buy vehicles and weapons within video games was actually tied to real money. Mm. So she looked back at her debit card charges going back 3 years, and it added up to $1,500. But there have been a lot of other even more exorbitant numbers that I've read about in various news stories recently. These charges can really amount to a lot of money before parents even realize what's happening.
Well, it's amazing. It wasn't even a concept when I was growing up and, playing Atari or something like that. This wasn't even an option. Now, will we spend better than $90 billion last year?
It's crazy, isn't it? It's a very lucrative business model now for the gaming industry. A lot of games, they claim that they're free to play, and they are, but they're not really free because there are all of these incentives to buy upgrades and, in some cases, buying items that will allow you to progress more quickly in the game and level up your character. And those are all really appealing to kids in the moment. They just click, and if their parents' credit card is tied to their gaming console or to their account in some way, pretty soon they're spending a lot of money.
We're speaking with Julie Jargon, Wall Street Journal columnist. Her column is called Family and Tech, and she's written a piece about kids splurging on digital goods. All right, so what do the experts say about whether or not this is a good way to spend your allowance, if in fact that's how you choose to do it?
Right. Well, there are some people who are of the opinion that if it's with kids' own money and it's somewhat controlled, that it can be okay, and it's an opportunity to teach your kids some lessons about money. Some parents are choosing to pay their kids their allowance in the form of gift cards, which can then be used to buy these digital goods. But the bottom line is to, control the money. And, you can set up all sorts of controls within the different gaming consoles and even on your phone so that you get a notification, that your child has attempted to make a purchase. You can have it set up so that your child sees a password prompt when they're trying to make a purchase, and that can prevent them from doing that.
Okay.
So there are different ways to control this, and whether it's a good thing or not to spend money on these digital goods. For some kids it's fun. It makes the gameplay more exciting. I don't think it's the product itself. It's just the idea of where's this money coming from, and really kind of teaching your kids this is real money, and you need to think about what you're spending.
Right. I think the gaming companies in some way secretly hope that this happens, and then that parents don't call and complain, and they just bite the bullet and accept the charges.
Oh well, sure. That's that's the way they make money. Increasingly, it's a huge portion of their revenue now is these in-game purchases, especially for the game makers that don't charge at the outset to, buy the game itself. That's their bread and butter.
Thanks, Julie. Julie Jargon, columnist at The Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Underwear, socks, shirts, hoodies, sweatpants. Guys, we all have them, right? Of course we do. They're the staples of our wardrobes. How many times have you been in a department store looking at aisles and aisles of underwear and socks? Well, this is not the most invigorating shopping experience, right? You just want to grab and go, but you can't because you're kind of playing a game of roulette as to which ones are going to fit you. That's why they developed Mac Weldon. Mac Weldon is going to give you right now 20% off your first order. Go to MacWeldon.com and enter the promo code Gordon. Welcome to a stress-free, easy shopping experience that will guarantee you the best fit and the most comfortable top drawer apparel you'll ever own. Custom engineered fabric, detailed stitching, even odor eliminating underwear and socks make Mac Weldon the obvious choice. If you don't like your first pair of underwear, keep them. Get a refund. No questions asked. Mac Weldon giving you 20% off right now on your first order. Go to MacWeldon.com right now and enter the promo code Gordon.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Thursday, July 18. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. The Democrat-controlled House has killed an effort to impeach the president. Acting Homeland Security Secretary answers questions on Capitol Hill today about migrant detention on the southern border. The British Open tees off today in Northern Ireland, final golf major of the year. First day of San Diego Comic-Con, and the woman who went next level while ringing a bell to indicate her chemo treatments were complete. That story in about 20 minutes. We're coming to you today from the Dell Studios. Dell's Cyber Monday in July is back. Save big on business computers with Intel Core processors, plus servers and electronics. Call 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL. Or visit dell.com/small business. Like Hillary Clinton, former Vice President Joe Biden made a lot of money after leaving government by writing a book and giving paid speeches, but he's not likely to face the kind of criticism Mrs. Clinton did during the Democratic presidential primary for cashing in. Why not? Here's Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance. Rick, explain.
Well, when Biden left government in 2017, he did something similar to what Hillary Clinton did. He wrote a book, and he gave a lot of paid speeches, and he made a fair amount of money. We know this because he just recently released his tax returns and some other information. But what Joe Biden did not do, he did not give any paid speeches to Wall Street banks or really to any for-profit companies. He mostly gave talks to universities and civic organizations and groups like that. So you will not find payments from Goldman Sachs or Bank of America, Merrill Lynch, or Deutsche Bank to Joe Biden the way we found those types of payments to Hillary Clinton when she was running for president in 2016.
You think that was a political calculation, Rick, or were perhaps those were the ones who contacted him?
Oh, I'm sure that was deliberate. Joe Biden didn't command quite the speaking fees that Hillary Clinton did. He averaged about $86,000 per speech, and Hillary Clinton averaged about $234,000 per speech. So she was a bigger draw, but $86,000 per speech ain't shabby.
Yeah.
And he gave 48 speeches, averaging that price. He made about $4.2 million in barely more than a year giving speeches. So he was in pretty high demand, not quite as high as Hillary Clinton, but I'm sure lots of companies would have loved to have him as a speaker, and probably also at a lot of industry events, they would have loved to have him as a speaker. And apparently he just said no.
These were two mostly nonprofits, as you said, too, that took place largely in public forums.
Yeah. So he went a kind of a he had a book that came out in 2017, and he seems to have gone on a sort of a combination book tour, speaking tour part of the rollout for that book. So we saw clusters of events at the end of 2017, in the middle of 2018, and then at the end of 2018. And he would pop up in theaters in a lot of different cities, like Carnegie Music Hall in Pittsburgh, which is my hometown, which is one of the reasons I noticed. That's a theater that seats about, 2,500 people maybe. Live Nation, the concert promoter, actually arranged some of those events. So his model was less of, the sort of Hillary Clinton go before a small audience of elites for a lot of money, and more like go before an audience of something closer to normal people in bigger venues.
We're speaking with Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance. He's written a piece entitled "How Joe Biden Avoided Hillary Clinton's Wall Street Problem." I don't know that this came up necessarily, but she caught a lot of grief, too, did Mrs. Clinton, about hiding the text of her speeches. What about for Mr. Biden?
She did. In fact, we only know what some of her remarks were to the Wall Street banks because they got hacked as part of the WikiLeaks hack of DNC emails and some other events like that. The remarks were in some of the emails that WikiLeaks got, and she spoke. I mean, she didn't say anything explosive back in, and her speeches were in 2013 and 2014 mostly. I covered that at the time. She didn't really say anything explosive. She just was, it just showed she was pretty cozy with the Wall Street banks. And she had sort of flattering things to say about her friends in the audience at Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley and stuff like that. And what she probably didn't anticipate at the time was that Bernie Sanders was actually going to get pretty good traction running against the banks and against corporate interests, and that made her a real sitting duck. And after the campaign was over, the 2016 campaign was over, in her book, she said it was a mistake to have taken that money from the Wall Street banks, and I think it's pretty clear today that it was. She had a real blind spot there.
Thanks, Rick. Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter @ThisMorningShow, like us on Facebook, or send us an email. this morning at compassmedianetworks.com.
Glad you're with us on this Friday Eve. Welcome aboard. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, if you're looking to identify the next great American marketing genius, look no further than this school-aged entrepreneur in Utah. Seth Parker set up his cold drink stand on a hot day in front of a church in Brigham City this week. He decided to make a large handheld sign to help attract customers to his stand. It said, ice cold beer, or at least that's what several passersby thought the sign said when they reported Seth to the police for selling alcohol underage on the street. What police found when they arrived was some fine print in Seth's sign. Just above the word beer, in really tiny letters, he wrote the word root. Seth apparently knows, even at a very early age, the power of publicity. According to a police post on Twitter, the curiosity of the townspeople, along with the police presence, led to a big sales day, having sold out of his entire supply on Tuesday. But Seth's mom says he will be back.
Attaboy, Seth. That's well done, my man.
I thought you would enjoy that
story. Yeah, that's good. I saw this sign from, I guess, online, and I could tell there was some, like, tiny writing about it. I didn't zoom to see what it was. I thought he put root or something in,
there. And he's standing there, like, you know, with the very confident look on his face, sunglasses on. He's like, I am rocking this. I'm going to sell out of every single, you know, can of root beer or whatever I got here.
Yeah, marketing 101. He already got an A.
Yes.
In whatever college course he chooses to take.
Yeah, maybe that'll transfer over. Mm-hmm. We'll see. And if you didn't get to celebrate enough during National Hot Dog Day yesterday, Gordon, you are in luck. We all are, actually. Starting next week, Oscar Mayer's iconic 27-foot-long Wienermobile will become available to book overnight on Airbnb. According to a press release from the company, the Wienermobile will be available to those staying in the Chicago area between August 1st and 4th, just in time for Lollapalooza. Of course, you'll have to pay for this privilege. One night in the Wienermobile starts at $136 before service fees and, of course, your tickets to and from the Windy City. The accommodations aren't bad, however, as the vehicle is equipped with a TV, mini fridge, roller grill, and some hot dog-inspired art. Reservations will go up on Airbnb next Wednesday.
So I'd be concerned that people are constantly wanting to touch it or get in it or pose with it. You know, is it like sealed off or, you know, gated off somehow?
See, the problem is you and I would
people
be going
banging on the side of it.
Like we'd actually want to get some sleep, right?
Yeah, right.
If we're not working, we just want to go and sleep someplace and not wake up super early in the morning. But yeah, if you're sitting there in the Wienermobile, it's definitely going to attract attention.
Right. And this is worth reviewing hot dogs, by the way, just momentarily,
okay,
as long as we're talking about the Wienermobile and Oscar Mayer. Just a reminder, as I like to say, if you just put ketchup on your hot dog, you're a child.
Ketchup in general.
It's a largely useless condiment. But I mean, just if you want to show that you have no taste in food whatsoever.
Yes.
Use ketchup.
Yes. I believe you are a mustard and sauerkraut guy.
Oh, yeah. Anything like that. Chili.
Trying to remember.
Anything.
Because I know we've discussed this before.
Anything. Because hot dog is a wonderful, wonderful meat. Does not deserve ketchup.
Yes. A wonderful conduit for any sort of topping you want to throw on top of it.
13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
You make a million tough business decisions every day. So here's the easiest one of the year. Dell's Cyber Monday in July is back and bigger than ever. Get no-brainer deals on the very latest computers with Intel Core processors and a huge selection of servers, electronics, and more. All with free shipping on everything. To make your decision even easier, Dell's small business technology advisors can help you find just the right tech. Call 877-BUY-DELL. That's an easy call to make at 877-BUY-DELL or visit dell.com/small business.
In general, I'm a win-win guy. When I have to spend hours searching for the right part, it's lose-lose. It's time lost for me and lost time for my crew. That's why I order from Grainger. With product experts that have the answers to my toughest questions, an easy-to-use website to help me find the right product quickly, I can rely on Grainger to make getting supplies for my business as simple and seamless as possible. When it comes to getting things done, it's a win-win when Grainger's got your back. Call clickgrainger.com or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Thanks for spending time with us. You may have seen your friends on Facebook using the Face App Photo Filter, which uses artificial intelligence to digitally age your face. Celebs like Drake, Taylor Swift, the Jonas Brothers, and Kevin Hart have used it with the hashtag Face App Challenge. However, experts warn that the free old age filter created in Russia poses security concerns that may give developers there access to your personal information and identity. The tool augments your face to look double or triple your current age, with wrinkles, some sagging, yellowed teeth. You can also use it to look younger, swap genders, try out a beard. But the New York Post says, be warned, FaceApp includes in their terms and conditions that they have the right to modify, reproduce, and publish any of the images you process through its AI. That means they can use your real name, your username, or any likeness provided in any format without notifying you, much less paying you. They can retain that material as long as they want, even after you delete the app. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, suspected nation-state hackers from Russia, Iran, and elsewhere have launched nearly 800 cyber attacks against political organizations over the past year that have been detected by Microsoft. Think tanks and non-governmental groups that work with candidates or political parties or on issues important to their campaigns have suffered most of the attacks. The findings are the latest indication that foreign governments are laying the groundwork ahead of the 2020 presidential election to potentially disrupt U.S. politics. A bid to launch impeachment proceedings against President Trump has been blocked in the House. Texas Democrat Al Green filed the resolution after the House voted to denounce Trump's attacks aimed at four congresswomen as racist. But the measure failed to win enough support, with Democrats voting overwhelmingly against it. The new article of impeachment focused on Trump's behavior and moral fitness to be president and not on whether he had engaged in obstruction of justice. Comedian and advocate John Stewart blasted Senator Rand Paul hours after the Kentucky Republican delayed a vote after the Senate attempted to reauthorize a fund that compensates victims of 9/11. Stewart, who has repeatedly advocated for the 9/11 Victims Compensation Fund, spoke with Fox.
What Rand Paul did today on the Senate was outrageous. He is a guy that put us in hundreds of billions of dollars of debt. He was the 51st vote on that cut.
Paul objected to the projected cut of the bill that would reauthorize the compensation fund, which was created after 9/11 to help pay for medical and economic losses as a result of the terrorist attacks. Prosecutors have dropped a case accusing Kevin Spacey of groping a young man at a Massachusetts resort bar in 2016. Spacey was accused of getting an 18-year-old man drunk and then groping him at a Nantucket restaurant and bar where the teen worked as a busboy. Spacey denied the allegations. Google Maps has added many features to help drivers. Now it's helping cyclists. Following a year-long test run in New York City, travelers and commuters across 16 countries will be able to locate bike sharing stations and see exactly how many bikes are available in real time using Google Maps. The added feature offers a bird's eye view of bike sharing stations in your area, and it's available on Android and iOS.
Wow, pretty cool. As long as they don't steer you into a lake or something like that. Sometimes happens with vehicles. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. A Texas woman who finished her radiation treatment for breast cancer rang the cancer-free bell so enthusiastically that she broke it. Darla J. was diagnosed with breast cancer in February, began radiation at the end of May. Fox 26 in Houston said the staff at Harris Health System in Houston, where she received her treatment, got a kick out of her enthusiastic ringing and promised it was an easy fix.
I broke the bell!
You broke the bell.
That's fantastic.
Ms. J. says she's thrilled that that part of the treatment is over, but her journey to the completion of her radiation began with fear. She said she was scared to death. She said, when you hear the words, you have cancer, the first thing you think of is, am I going to die? The second thing you think of, she said, is, what am I going to go through? Ms. J. said she never imagined she would make it through those 30 treatments and be able to ring that bell. So when she got the chance, she rang it to celebrate that she was alive and essentially done for now. She credits Harris Health System with saving her life. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.